Let's do this. I'm ready. Trigger warning. There's going to be some fucking triggering today. Oh, is there going to be some triggering? Hillary. She's the next Messiah. She doesn't have black skin, but she has a hole between her legs. She is Hillary. She is the new Messiah. Because the old Messiah, Hussein Obama, didn't do anything for 8 fucking years. Now we need a new Messiah. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, and you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss. Fucking look for a safe space, because you're going to need it. Trigger fucking warning. Today's episode will trigger you. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Started out on the internet in 1999, back when you had to have dial-up modems and shit. Been podcasting for, what was it, 11 fucking years? I think, before, yeah, 11 years, 12 years in November. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform, which I launched the coolest missile of my intellect. Homes in on it, destroys motherfucking statist all around the world. Doesn't matter what kind of statist you are, left-wing statist, right-wing statist, homo statist, statheist, tranny statist, social justice warrior statist, doesn't fucking matter, okay? The cruise missile will seek you out because it has a fucking stupidity-seeking missile. Stupidity-seeking warhead, rather. There's a fucking guidance system in there, and it listens for stupid cocksuckers who say things like, but without the government, who would build the roads? Alright, I need to get started because there's a lot to cover. I want to try to keep this down to one episode, and we know how that works out. If you want to send us email, love mail, hate mail, go fuck yourself mail, naked pictures, whatever you want to do, you can send that to God. It's dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. And of course, cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. That was me taking care of some business there. Okay, so I'm at the library and I'm looking in the section over here and I run across this book and I see it and I go, oh, I should grab that and check this out because this looks humorous. And this is humorous. Now, I've looked through a little bit of this book, but for the most part, we're going to be going through here and it's got the little, you know, sections that are in larger text that are called reality check. There's reality checks in this book. Reality checks. All I'm going to do is go through and look at the reality checks and some of the other like sections. I haven't read the book. I'm not going to read the book. And like I say, most of this I have not seen. This is going to be completely fresh. Just like when I flirt with your girlfriend. Fresh. Okay, here we go. This book is called, brace yourselves, trigger warning. This book is called The Essential Guide to Date Rape Prevention. How to avoid dangerous situations, overpowering individuals, and date rape. And it's written by Scott Lindquist, FCPP, CPS, Crime Prevention Specialist. Because you see, my friends, women can do anything a man can do, except, of course, figure out how not to get raped. They need a man to write a book to tell them that because women just aren't bright enough to figure out how to avoid being raped. So here we go. Scott is going to teach women here how to avoid date rape. Reality check. although many law enforcement agencies, both federal and local, have fine crime prevention departments, it is up to you to do all you can do to prevent crime and keep yourself from becoming a victim. Well, that's interesting, because every time a woman gets raped, we're told that it's not her fault. She had nothing to do. There's nothing she could do. Isn't this the whole thrust? Thrust. Get it? Thrust. We're talking about thrust. Oh, trigger fucking warning. Isn't this the whole thrust of feminism? Is that women are these helpless little creatures that are constantly victimized and taken advantage of by men? And until men change their behavior, hashtag he for she, women will keep getting raped, because there's nothing women can do to prevent rape, because women are victims and men are evil. White men are evil. Now, Muslim men, remember, if a Muslim man rapes you, that's not rape. It's just like black people can't be racist because black lives matter. Muslim men can't be rapist because alpha sperm. Okay, reality check. It's almost as if I read ahead. I swear on my grandmother's grave, I didn't. Reality check. No matter what happens, rape is never the victim's fault. Exactly. It's never the woman's fault, and that's why women can't stop being raped. Because it's never their fault. If it's not your fault, if you have nothing, then you can't change it, right? If I go and I try to get a girl to go out on a date with me and she says no, if that's not my fault, then there's nothing I can do about it. But if it's my fault, there's things I can do to improve. I could maybe I didn't take a shower that day. Maybe I need to lift a little more weights. Maybe I need not be so fat, right? I go to get a job. I don't get the job. If I sit there and go, well, it's not my fault. But if I go to get a job and I don't get the job, and I go, this is my fault. What could I do to be better next time? I know all of this is beyond the fucking mental comprehension of women. And yes, I know this one woman. Not all women are like that. Okay? Again, if you're the sort of person that I have to point out every fucking time I say women are like this, women, I have to point out there might be exceptions, then you're too fucking stupid to listen to this podcast. Trigger fucking warning. Leave now. Okay? This, I do not fucking podcast for stupid people. I'm not like one of these fucking faggots who comes on and says, well, hey, girls, did you, but I know not all women are like that. I'm not that faggot, okay? Not that faggot. If I need to explain to you that there are exceptions to rules, you are too stupid to listen to this podcast. Go fucking kill yourself. All right, moving on. Reality check. At any age or any stage of arousal, a man is in complete control of his sexual behavior. Do you notice how it doesn't say, at any age or any stage of arousal, a person is in control of his or her sexual behavior? You see, men, as I've explained before, men are agents. Men, we have control over our behavior. You see, women do not. That's why women are excluded from this statement about beings having control over their sexual behavior, because women do not control their sexual behavior. Women see Muslim alpha males. The women want the sperm. The women spread their legs. Women cannot control their behavior. Women are not responsible. And yet it says here in the very first reality check of the book, it is up to you to do all you can to prevent crime and keep yourself from becoming a victim. The second reality check tells you that no matter what happens, it's not your fault. You don't have anything to do with it. And the third one tells you that men can control their sexual behavior, but as a woman, you can't control your sexual behavior. This, my fucking Christ. Reality check. After you say no, it is rape. Unless the man is a Muslim, in which case it's completely okay. Or an alpha male. No, saying the word no does not automatically turn it into rape. Nice try. Reality check. Rape is not just a misunderstanding. Rape is a criminal act of choosing to overpower a woman and to have sexual intercourse with her without her consent or without her knowledge. You know, I don't necessarily disagree with this. The problem is that we've moved to this point where these words don't mean anything. Words like consent. I mean, without her knowledge, I mean, I get, yeah, if the woman's unconscious or something, that's a whole different thing. But remember, we've reached the point where women can withdraw their consent 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later, right? It's great. It's like that Lauren Sutherland video where Lauren goes up to these fucking feminazi cunts and says, can I videotape you? Because I'm doing this thing. And they're like, yeah, you can videotape us. And yeah. So she interviews them. And then she goes away. And this other feminist cunt comes up to Lauren and says, those women, they want to withdraw their consent. They said you can't use that video footage. And Lauren's like, you can't fucking withdraw your consent. She's like, well, yeah, we can. Yeah. No, you stupid fucking whores. And this might be one of the tests you could use to distinguish a normal, well-adjusted, non-stupid woman from a femistatist cunt, is to ask her, you know, and you pose it as this theoretical question, can consent be withdrawn after it's granted? You know, can you consent to something and then 2 weeks later say no? Again, it's like you sign a contract. It's like, okay, I'm going to sign this contract with the bank. That's essentially the same thing as consent. You take out a loan or whatever. Then 2 weeks later, you go back, you know what? I'm going to decide I didn't really want to sign that loan contract. And this illustrates what I have been saying for ages now about how women don't have integrity. You can't trust them. Women do not stick to their commitments. A woman says, yes, I'll have sex with whatever. She agrees. She consents to have sex with you. Then 2 weeks later, she decides, oh, I'm going to unagree to have sex with this person retroactively. Okay, this is yet one more reason why women shouldn't vote. This is why they shouldn't be in the workplace. This is why you sure as fuck can't trust them. Because remember, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. She can withdraw her consent to have sex with you anytime she wants. 2 days later, 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later. Because it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. Reality check. You are 5 times more likely to be raped by someone you know than by a stranger. Yeah, because you spend more time around people you know, and because for a lot of women, they spend a lot of their time around bad boy, alpha, male, scumbag, shit fucks. But again, that's like saying, when they say, well, if you have a gun in your house, you're more likely to be killed by a gun. Yeah, if you have a swimming pool in your backyard, you're more likely to drown in a swimming pool. If your house has electricity, you're more likely to be electrocuted than someone who lives in a house that doesn't have electricity, right? It's like that statistic, well, more people die in car wrecks within 5 miles of their house or whatever it is. Well, yeah, because most of your trips in an automobile start or end at your house. And thus, statistically speaking, you spend more time within 5 miles of your house than you spend not within 5 miles of your house. Plus, if you first get in the car, you're driving away, you're sort of ramping up to the job of driving, so you might be a little less aware. And let's say you're coming back from a long trip, the closer you get to home, the more complacent you may become, the less aware you may become of yours. So, right, again, just, yes, no shit. You're more likely to be raped by somebody that you know, because you spend more time around people you know than people you don't know. Reality check. No one turns anyone else on. We turn ourselves on. Okay. Sure. Reality check. Alcohol has been shown to be a significant factor in the vast majority of acquaintance rapes and in more than 90% of all campus crime. Well, gosh, why don't we have stricter alcohol control? movie. Assault weapons have been used in a couple of mass shootings, but certainly not all of them, despite what you hear on the television. And box trucks have been used by terrorists to murder people, so why don't we have alcohol and box truck control? And again, I've talked about this extensively in the past, part of the reason why the people, they get booze for the first time, they're in college, they're 18. It's like, if we get rid of this social stigma, if we get rid of these stupid laws that say you can't drink until you're 21, and you allow people to first experience alcohol when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, when they're living at home, when they're in the room with their parents, parent, to imply that a child would have a mother and a father is, of course, sexist, racist, homophobic, bigoted. Oh, God. And we wonder why the kids are so fucked up and why they're all getting raped. I mean, you can't figure it out, but I can. If you allow the kids, when they're young, to get their first experience of alcohol at home with their parents, you know, this is for the children who are oppressed and actually have a father living with them, and aren't enjoying the wonders of being the child of a single mother. Right, and anyway, if you allow them to experience this at home, learn about alcohol, learn their limits, get over it so that they can go forth into the world when they're 18 years old and they're at college getting their fucking worthless liberal arts degree and going into debt, they maybe wouldn't be so fucking stupid and they wouldn't get so fucking drunk and pass out and go unconscious and do stupid shit. But of course, if that happened, there would be less victims in the world. And if there are fewer victims, then there's less need for the state. And there's less need for rape prevention counselors. And there's less need for therapists. And there's less need for the whole rape industrial complex, which, as I pointed out before, the state wants women to be raped. Did a whole podcast. That's the name of it. Pretty sure it's a multi-parter. Just go to the website, go to the little search bar, type in "the state wants women to be raped," and you'll fucking find it. I've explained this to you. More women getting raped means more power for the government, more power for the corporations. Okay, reality check. It is important to understand that no matter what choices you make in a dating situation, you did not choose to be raped. Again, see, it doesn't matter what your choices are. You didn't choose this. Your choices have nothing to do with your outcomes. You have a hole between your legs, and it is up to men to always do what you want them to do. Your choices mean nothing. Your choices have nothing to do with your outcome. None. You dressed like a whore, you got drunk, you laid on the couch, you spread your leg, you said, "Hey guys, come over here and fuck me." No. See, those choices have nothing to do with you getting a cock inside your cunt. Again, this is why when you get pissed off at me because I tell you that women don't have agency, this is why I'm telling you women don't have agency. Because you women, according to Scott Lundquist, don't have agency. Okay, your choices have nothing to do with your outcomes. This is why women shouldn't be in the workplace. This is why women shouldn't vote. This is why women should not have responsibility. This is why women cannot be trusted, because their choices have nothing to do with their outcomes. Unlike men, my choice right now to record this podcast is directly related to my outcomes, right? This podcast is going to go on the internet. It's going to offend people. They're going to be triggered. Other people are going to listen to it and laugh their asses off. I am not doing other things at this moment because I am doing this podcast. So I'm not, for example, washing dishes or working on CLSology or doing some stuff I need to do on the website or doing the YouTube. I've been unbanned on YouTube again, so you can see the videos again on YouTube, at least for now. Right. So all of that, all of those outcomes are a direct result of my choice to be recording this podcast. See, my outcomes are not disconnected from my choices because I have a cock. But for some reason, those of you with a hole between your legs think that your outcomes have nothing to do with your choices. You just choose anything you want. The outcomes just fucking happen to you. Reality check. The threat of violence is just as intimidating and paralyzing as violence itself. I assume he's talking about taxation here because, you know, taxation comes with a threat of violence. If you don't pay your taxes, you'll get put into a cage. Is he talking about taxation? Let's read some more and find out. A woman being raped overwhelmingly and accurately believes that her life is in danger. For this reason, Dr. Peg Ziegler, former director of the Atlanta, Georgia Rape Crisis Center, again, that's a person who, if there were not rapes, who's this cunt, Dr. Peg Ziegler, wouldn't have a job if women weren't getting raped. Okay? This is why the government wants you to get raped. If you're not getting raped, Peg Ziegler doesn't have a fucking job. Because Peg Ziegler, she is a former director of the fucking Rape Crisis Center. This is a person who's never created value for another human being in her fucking life. She has a fucking liberal arts degree. She's old, she's ugly, she's worthless. She needs you to be raped so that she could have a job. Okay, anyhow, Ziegler has called the crime of rape the, quote, unfinished murder, unquote. Ken, taxation is unfinished murder, right? There's a threat of violence behind taxation. There's a threat of violence behind the police telling you you have to buckle your fucking seatbelt. The state operates under the threat of violence. Welcome to my world. Reality check. At some level, the rapist made a choice to commit a violent crime and probably thought he could get away with it. Well, if he's a Muslim, he can. If he's a Kennedy, he can. If he's a Democrat, he can. There are some people who can get away with rape. Right? There's that movie, I don't remember the name of it. I really want to do a comment. I want to do a lot of things. Anyhow, in it, it's about people, men and women in the military being raped. And they're interviewing these people who have been raped. And they're like, yeah, this guy raped me. And I went through my chain of command. And these guys, none of them got punished for these rapes. They are getting away with it. As I have pointed out, I've gone down this road how many times? The fucking police and the criminal justice system do not exist to prevent crime. That includes rape. The police and the judges and the lawyers and these cunts at their rape prevention crisis centers and all this other shit, they do not exist to prevent rapists from raping you. They exist to protect the rapist from the consequences of raping women. Because the police, the lawyers, the judges, the rape crisis centers, all of these fucking cunts out there want women to be raped because that's the source of their jobs. Not the women who are getting raped, the scumbags in the government. Okay? If you work at a rape crisis center and there isn't any rape, you don't have a job anymore. Okay, if you're the police and you eliminate crime, you don't have a job anymore. You don't get more funding because the way our system is currently set up is that when crime goes up, police get more money, which is completely backwards. As I've explained before, I can't go this out. The police should only be paid when there is no crime. The fact that we give the police more money if the crime rate grows up is why the crime rate keeps going the fuck up. Reality check. You can recover and heal after a rape, but only if you survive the assault. Well, yes, that is biologically true. Only people who are alive can recover and heal. You are a fucking genius. All right. Oh, God. 15 ways to prevent acquaintance rape. Here we go. Number one, communicate up front with him. Right. Okay, women cannot communicate overtly. They communicate covertly. A woman has never fucking communicated up front with a man in her life. If you want a platonic relationship, say so. If there is to be no sex, say so. Again, you can tell this guy's never actually dated any women in his life. Number two, be assertive with him about sex. He can't read your mind. Okay, women are going to be assertive. Right. Okay, you can tell this guy's never dated a woman in his life. Number three, make sure your body language matches your words. Okay, you can tell this man has never dated a woman in his life. Most people have no clue about their body language. That's why body language is so good at revealing what people are really thinking. Right, I talked about the body language book, and there's lots of body language. This is why you study body language, because people cannot consciously control very much of their body. So, I mean, this is just nonsensical. Make sure your body language matches your words. In other words, I think he's saying don't lie. Because the only way you can make your body language match your words is if you don't lie. Again, women communicate covertly, and women lie virtually any time their mouth is moving, even about shit that doesn't matter. This guy's never dated a woman in his life. Four, wear clothes and shoes that allow the full range of movement and in which you can move quickly if you must. So when you go out on a date, you're supposed to wear your gym shorts and your track shoes? Okay, number five, introduce him. No, him, as if women can't be raped by other women, right? What's the fat cunt, Leah Dunham, raped her little sister, right? Because we know women never rape other women. Introduce him to your roommate, friends, or family before you go out and tell them when you will return. Well, and I mean, if you're going out with somebody for the first time, you should do that anyway. And remember, guys, it's not like women can't be psycho killers either. Just because she has a vagina doesn't mean she can't stab you in the back, literally stab you in the back with a knife when you're not looking, okay? You're going out with somebody that you don't know very well, because this is acquaintance rape. This isn't even date rape. This is preventing acquaintance rape. I'm not sure what the difference is between being raped. Again, there's all these different fucking tiers of rape, right? You know, it's like, well, there's Muslim rape that isn't really rape. And then there's, I was raped by a black guy, but he was kind of hot, so it wasn't really rape. And I've always wanted to be with a black guy to piss off my daddy. You know, and then there's, I was raped by a white guy, and that's the patriarchy, and I'm going to make a YouTube video and cry. Anyhow, number six, if this is the first time you and he are getting together, meet him during daylight hours and take your own car with you. Well, yes, and God, yes, that goes for men and women. If you're meeting somebody in person for the first time, yes. Maybe not daylight, but you sure as hell meet in a public place. And yeah, you take your own fucking transportation. Number seven, remember, isolated spots can be dangerous. Meet him in public, stay around other people. I just said that. Number eight, fraternity rush parties and all parties where there is excessive alcohol consumption can be dangerous. Do not go to isolated bedrooms or basements, and do not allow yourself to be alone with men with no other female present. Because again, other females will make you safe, because there's no way that he and this female could be interested in having a forced threesome. And then notice how men are always evil, women are always good. Notice the narrative here, right? Men are always dangerous. Women are never dangerous. Alcohol and drugs are tools rapists use to subdue their victims. Getting high or drunk will make his job easier and your escape more difficult. Stop getting drunk and doing drugs. That goes for more than just not getting raped. Like, stop drinking until you're fucking drunk and stop doing drugs. Number 10, always pour your own drinks, even if you're drinking only soft drinks. Never let someone else carry or watch your drink for you. If you have a reason to suspect your drink has been spiked, throw it away. Again, I agree with that. I'm from the South, where people back in the olden days used to poison each other. And that was me taking a drink out of my water bottle, which I filled myself from the tap. I don't trust Randy to fill. Did I mention Randy? The lovely and adorable Randy is in the control room. Did I say that? because I was trying to get started. Hi, Randy. Anyhow, yeah, no, I agree with that. Not just because of rape, but because of anything. Like, you don't, if it's alcohol and somebody's making mixed drinks, you don't know how much booze they're putting in there. Maybe they're putting in more booze than you want. You know, maybe you just want a little bit of booze and they're throwing in three shots or some shit. Whatever. Yeah, I agree with that. You're at a party. You should always, whether you're a man or a woman, you should always control your own drink. What? When was this book written? Hold on. How old is this? Originally published in 1999. This is a revised edition, 2007. Okay. Sorry. Always carry a telephone calling card. Because half of you out there don't even know what a telephone calling card is. Better yet, a cell phone and enough cash and get help and get help. Going out without a cell phone, not a fucking problem anymore. All right. Number 12, never leave a bar or party with a man you do not know or are not absolutely sure about. See, don't leave with a man you don't know unless you're absolutely sure about him. So like if he's giving you vaginal tingles, or if you really want to jump his bones, or if he's a Muslim, then it's okay to leave the party with him and you can have sex with him. And then 2 weeks later, you can withdraw your consent so that people don't think you're a slut. Okay, number 13, take self-defense courses, right? Good, yeah. Anyway, that's laughable, sorry. Oh, God. Note that in order to actually be able to successfully defeat an attacker in a confrontation, you will probably need more than one lesson. This book is written for women. Now, granted, it's written by a man, and it's written by a man who's never been on a date with a woman. Girls, ladies, females, women. Regard how much you hate me, this is a serious question for you. Are you actually so stupid that you need Scott Fagquest to tell you that you will need more than one self-defense lesson to actually use self-defense training to protect yourself from a rapist? I'm dead serious, girls. Are you really that stupid? Are you? Is this something that you need to be told? That it takes... is there anybody out there with the fucking cunt, with the hole between your legs, that you really think if you went to like a karate place, right, and you took one karate lesson, that you would suddenly be capable of utilizing karate to defend yourself against a man who is larger than you, stronger than you, and at least a little bit drunk? Is there any of you out there who actually are that fucking stupid that you need to be told by Scott Fagquest that you need more than one lesson to learn self-defense? Number 14. Be aware of what is happening around you and trust your instincts. Well, again, that goes for everybody in every situation, in every moment of your life. I mean, right now, I'm aware of what's happening around me, and I trust my instincts. You should be doing that all the time. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, if you're getting raped or doing the raping, or if you're neither. Okay? You should always be doing that. Do not let a man intimidate you or make you feel uncomfortable unless the man is with the government or if he's wearing a costume and has a little badge and a gun. Then it's okay for him to intimidate you and make you uncomfortable because he's trying to get money from you to keep his job as a police officer. If your inner guidance tells you to leave, do so at once. Again, you should do that all the fucking time in every moment of your life. If something's telling you that you should leave a location, then maybe you should fucking leave. I mean, okay. Good job, Scott. Common sense. Number 15. Have a plan in your mind that you can follow if your date gets abusive or dangerous. Yeah, that plan would be stop dating assholes. I don't know, get some standards? How's he gonna get, if you're meeting him in public for the first time, why is he gonna get abusive and dangerous? Like, I don't know, vet the people that you hang out with? You want the alpha sperm. That's why people like Charles Manson, that's why Charles Manson has a wife. Because alpha sperm. That's why Muslims rape women and women lie about it and women cover it up because they don't want the Muslims to get in trouble because it's alpha sperm. Why should she have a plan? Remember, it's not her fault. Have a plan in your mind you can follow if your date gets abusive or dangerous. Remember that your best chance to escape is at the beginning of the confrontation. Now, actually, your best chance to escape is when he drops his pants, because then his pants are around his ankles and he can't run very fast. Don't delay or second guess yourself. Commit to your own safety and do whatever you have to do to escape. Don't worry about what other people may think about you if you feel you're into... Right, women are not going to concern themselves with what other people think. Oh, that's going to happen. Women go through their entire lives with everything they do revolving around other people's opinions, because as I've said before, women are like Schrodinger's cat. If they are not being observed, they don't exist. That's why I put my selfie on Instagram, because I want people to see me. I want people to see me. I'm 40, I'm fat, and I'm fabulous. Reality check. The most dangerous time for a woman in her first year of college occurs from the move-in day to the first holiday break. This is when most rush parties happen. Right, because she's not smart enough to not go to the parties, and because she doesn't know how to handle alcohol, because we have these bizarre laws that say you can't drink alcohol until you're 21 years old. In some play, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't know the laws now, my memory, which... I've talked about false memories, but my memory is that back when I was young, when I was young, the drinking age in Texas was 18, not 21. But if you were like 16, 17, and you were in a bar or a restaurant, if your parents were with you, you could drink alcohol. And you could certainly do it at home. And of course, nowadays, we've reached the point where in some places, like the People's Republic of Fort Collins, you know, it's illegal for somebody under 21 to drink booze in their own home with their parents there. And I can just ramble about this all day long, but this is why you stupid little millennial shits can't handle your booze. Or at least part of it. And yes, it's not your fault. It's your shitty parents. You know, and again, I want to keep emphasizing, yes, the millennials are pieces of shit, but it's not like they became pieces of shit all by themselves, okay? Their parents or their parent, since so many of them are the victims of single mothers, certainly fucking got them there. All right, reality check. Alcohol is not an aphrodisiac. Alcohol is a depressant. Too much alcohol inhibits male sexual performance and a woman's ability to fight back. Okay, I mean, those are facts, but so what? What is this? Somebody underlined this section here. It says, blah, blah, blah. Effects of alcohol release inhibitions, leading to actions people would never take while sober. Yes, because if people didn't get drunk and do things they wouldn't do when they were sober, there'd be a lot fewer children, because there's a whole lot of kids who are only here, a whole lot of people, adults, kids, whatever, babies, who are only here because their parents got sufficiently drunk to have sex, because under normal circumstances, one or both of their parents are people that no fucking sober person would ever have sex with. Reality check. You don't have to drink, take drugs, or be sexually active to have friends or to have a happy social life. Mostly true. It kind of depends who you're trying to be friends with, but yeah, okay, I would agree with that. Reality check. Blaming the rape victim serves only to sanction rape as a justifiable form of male behavior. No, it doesn't. Assigning appropriate levels of responsibility to the female victim and holding her accountable. Oh shit, I have some notes here. I didn't know I had notes. Wait, hang on. No, it doesn't just, what justifies the rape is the government showing up and protecting the rapist. That's me trying to read and think at the same time. No, blaming the rape victim puts whatever, if you do it in the way, if you blame them for things that they had control over, should have had control over, yada, 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 right? It's all situational dependent. But this whole thing, again, the rape victim can never be responsible. That's what it boils down to, is the constant need of women to never be responsible for anything that happens to them. And it just gets old, girls. It just really gets fucking old. Listening to you talk about how you are never accountable for anything in your life. Reality check. Even within a marriage, if the woman does not want sex and the man forces it on her, that is rape. That will change when enough Muslims are here and we have Sharia law. I'm looking forward to that. Because remember, when a Muslim does it, it's not rape. Here we have a bunch of information about different drugs. Oh, great. This is another one of those things where they have all these lists of drugs and tell you what they do. So GHB causes relaxation, drowsing, dizziness, problem seeing, seizures, inability to remember what happened while drugged. Great. So if I get some GHB, which is often called liquid ecstasy, and I give it to a chick, then she'll have seizures, which it'll be like, you know, fucking a moving sex doll, and she won't remember what happened. Man, this is great. This is, what a great resource. Oh my God, it's pathetic. All right. Oh God. Here we have the four personalities of a rapist. Here's the four personality types of rapist. The gentleman rapist, the control freak rapist, the revenge rapist, and the sexual sadist rapist. Okay, reality check. Rapists and other criminals come in all sizes and shapes and rarely conform to the media stereotypes. Ah, but I noticed you didn't say they come in all genders, because women can't be rapists. Only men can. Reality check. Here we go. Reality check. Most rapists are white and usually choose victims within their own race, who live and work near their own home. Most rapists are not lower class working people, but middle class educated men. Yes, you see, most rapists are white men. And you notice it's not the lower working class men who do this. And why is that? Well, that's because we need lower class working class men to collect the garbage and things like that that women don't want to do. See, most rapists are middle-class educated men, because middle-class educated men are the biggest threats to feminism. These are men who actually have jobs, and these are men who are intelligent. See, men like the beta males who collect your garbage and lift heavy objects and do things like moving. See, those men we need, because we need them to pick things up. But it's middle-class educated men that are the most dangerous to feminism. And therefore, that's where obviously most of the rapists are at. Most rapists are white. I may have to look for some statistics and see if there's any truth to that. I have a feeling. You know, and again, we've got all these unreported, it's just this, most rapists are white. Do you imagine if I said, now imagine, hold it. How much fucking shit hits the fan when you point out that of all the gun violence in America, Most of it is black people, poor black men, shooting other poor black men. How dare you bring socioeconomic status into it? How dare you bring skin color into it? But when you assert that most rapists are middle class educated white men, oh, that's so enlightened. What turns an ordinary man into a rapist? Oh my God. Until men are re-educated about a woman's right to her own body and sexual activities, this problem will continue. You see, this is why men are turned into rapists. Because they haven't been re-educated. I can't make this up, guys. I cannot fucking make this up. This is what it says. Until men are re-educated about a woman's right to her own body and sexual activities, the problem will continue. You see, middle-class educated white men who are all rapists, until you've been re-educated to understand that a woman has a right to her own body. Now, of course, you don't have a right to your own body, right? You need to pay your fucking taxes. You need to get permission to get married. You need to pay your fucking alimony. You need to do all this shit or the government will put you in a fucking cage, right? But women, see, women are special. Women have the right to their own body. Actually, they don't. We've discussed this before. Women have to pay the taxes. Women have to fucking obey all the laws. Essentially, it comes down to women and their fucking vagina. What turns an ordinary man into a rapist? You know what turns an ordinary man into a rapist? Feminism. Feminism inventing claims of rape. Feminist saying they were raped when they were not. Feminist expanding the definition of rape to include being looked at, to include things like being mentioned on Twitter. I mean, we're at the point where women claim they're being raped because somebody links to their website on the internet. The word rape has lost all meaning. Right? This is why anytime I hear about a woman being raped, my very first impulse is to just start laughing. Because real, actual, legitimate rape is a bad thing, unless it happens to a feminist. And when I say that, I don't mean that as a joke. Right? If you're a fucking feminist and you get raped, I have no sympathy for you. Right? It's just like your belief that it's not rape if a Muslim does it. As far as I'm concerned, it's not rape if it happens to a feminist. Deal with it. When a non-feminist woman, when a actual normal woman who isn't fucked up in the head gets raped, it's a terrible thing. But you fucking femistatist cunts, just everything that happens, you call it rape. Reality check. Remember that some experts, some experts believe that all rapists are, in reality, serial rapists. That is, they rape repeatedly until stopped. What do you mean they rape repeatedly until stopped? Like, every day? Every hour? I mean, what the fuck does that mean? So if you rape somebody when you're 20 years old, and then you rape somebody when you were 47. Is that a serial rapist? I mean, this is just, this is what I'm saying. It's these phrases and these things that have no fucking meaning. They have no context. Reality check. When you are confronted with a man who intends to rape you, you must assume the very worst in order for you to respond effectively. Unless he's a Muslim, or unless he works for the government, of course. I'm not really sure where to even go with that, because again, it's one of those things that, like, doesn't make that much sense. Oh God, wait, is this what I had the notes about? There's going to be a part two. I'm not even halfway finished with the book. Just letting you know. Yes. Oh my God. All right, should I just... No, I'll keep going. We'll come... A for agenda. B for beliefs. C for communication. Oh God. Oh God, it's going to be good. Reality check. Sex, or the ability to have sex with a woman, should have nothing to do with a secure, healthy man's sense of self-worth. But it does. This is so faggotish, I'm not even really sure how to respond to this. Sex, or the ability to have sex with a woman, should have nothing to do with a secure, healthy man's sense of self-worth. Well, it does, because men like women. Men like having sex with women. And because men have self-awareness, if we're not having not just sex, but enjoying the company of women, we feel somewhat incomplete. I mean, unless you're some kind of fucking virgin toe. Yeah, it does. And the idea that Scott Fagquest gets to tell me and any other man, what can you imagine telling a fucking woman? Going to women and say, well, whether or not a woman, you know, can you imagine telling women how to determine their self-worth? It's like when you tell fat women you need to stop. You can't tell me how to... I'm fat, I'm 40, and I'm fabulous. You can't tell me how to determine my self-worth. Again, you can see there's this whole different set of standards. Right? Men always responsible. Women never responsible. Men... You know, your self-worth has nothing to do with having sex. Women... Well, women can be as slutty as they want. You go, girl. You are sexually liberated. You can have sex with as many bad boy alphas as you want, and then you're going to get a beta male to move in and pay your bills. Reality check. A date or relationship should not be a contest. Game or battlefield is a chance for two people to get to know each other. You have to tell women that you're supposed to get to know the other person on the date. That's how dumb you women are. Jesus fucking Christ on a fucking stick. Alright, there's going to be a part two because we're only on page 74. And this is a 200 page book. And remember, boys and girls, it's not rape if a Muslim does it.